morning, everybody. I'm obviously not Pastor Bruce, but Pastor is on vacation, a well-deserved vacation with his wife. So that's why I'm here. And thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'm Pastor Stephen. For those who don't know, I'm the youth pastor here. And I just have one small announcement for parents. My sermon will have a little bit of adult matter, but nothing graphic or descriptive. But I will have some scriptural terms for scriptural words. So if you're not comfortable with that, just want to let you know. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We thank you so much for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who you sent to this earth on Pentecost in a powerful way. And we just thank you for that gift to us, that you can dwell within our hearts. We just ask that your Spirit be with us in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass on to each other the peace of Christ.
Good morning, everyone, on this Pentecost Sunday. It's so good to see you, and so good to see so many of us remembered to wear red. Which is hard to do sometimes. Our memory verse for the month of May is at the top of your bulletin. We're going to repeat it through two times. James 2:17, faith without works is dead. James 2:17, faith without works is dead. In our moments of informality, there are a few announcements. Diane has one to start with.
For those who were not here last week to hear the big announcement, we are having another church directory. The pictures will be taken on June 25th and 26th, which is a Monday and Tuesday, from 2 in the afternoon until 8:30 in the evening. On the narthex table, as you exit, you'll see a pamphlet like this. It has instructions on it for how to do scheduling online for your sitting. They are allowing 10 minutes for your sitting. And then you go in and you can look at their pictures. A lot of times when you have photographers, they get commissions so that they push those big packages. These photographers are on salary. They are actually forbidden to push those big expensive packages. They can tell you that they're there if you want them, but you do not have to buy big packages. You can go in, have your picture made, tell them it's for the directory. You'll get a directory and a free 8x10. If you only want that, you just tell the photographer that, and that saves on the time. If you are coming with like a combined family group, maybe parents, grandparents, children, schedule two spots together so that there's enough time for the photographer to take care of that for you. Now, for those of you who are not able or not comfortable going online to do your scheduling, Krista will be back outside the doors along with Peggy to help you get scheduled before you leave today. Now, our goal is 115 sits. We're a long way away from that, but it's 6 weeks away. It's not just for members. If you come here regularly and you're not a member, please have your picture taken. If you are an occasional visitor, please come and have your picture taken. It's going to allow us to be able to look down the pew and say, that's what that person's name is. Especially when we have three worship services, you may not know the people that go to the other worship services. But if you have the directory, you're going to learn who they are. Those of you who were not here last week also didn't get the announcement that besides getting the directory, all of you are going to be able to get an app for your smartphone or your tablet or whatever that has basically the directory online, so that if you're sitting in the pew and you're looking down and you're saying, what was her name? You can real quick go through the app, find the picture and say, oh yeah, I know that. And you can look really, really smart. So we're going to have a whole congregation of smart people, right? Is there anybody out there? Okay. Anyway, pick up the directions or sign up after the service. I'm going to pass the clipboard. We're also in need of some helpers to sit out there with Krista after each service. And we are in need of some people to do some telephone calling from home. We have 4 people so far. We'd like a few more. We want to call the people who haven't been coming and people who perhaps are visitors to try to get them to come back. You will all get a phone or email blast right before the pictures to remind you. You signed up for pictures tomorrow, kind of like the doctor's offices do. So give us some help on the clipboard as well. On the people in the balcony, there is a clipboard back there by the bulletins. So if you want to pass that, and if one of you could bring it downstairs, we'd greatly appreciate it. Thanks. Is there anybody in the balcony looking up? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Di. You know, it's interesting that Diane made that comment about knowing who you're in the pews with. After first service, and we're looking for a utility trailer, I had one of the members stop me and say, are you still looking for a utility trailer? And I said, yes. She said, well, my son has one, and I think he's loaned it to the church before. And I know this lady, but I cannot remember her name. So we've all been there. And it has nothing to do with age. It's just you have 3 congregations. And Patty and I have been going to the Saturday night service, so there's new faces in the pews, and I love to see that. I love to see know that this church is growing. I'm here to talk to you about the missions work trip. We're trying to keep this in the forefront, make sure that you're up to date and know what's going on with that. And I want to report to you first that we have generously been given $560 toward sponsorship, or a scholarship for people to be able to go on the work trip. I was just blown away when Debbie, our financial secretary, told us that this week. We still are at a $1,000 threshold or level for materials, and there have been some baby layette products put in the basket, so we're appreciative of that. We would ask that you continue to keep this in your prayers. This is becoming crunch time now. We're within 4 weeks, and I got the materials list out to Heart and Hand and for the Builder Center. I'm waiting to hear back from them. Based on materials that I know it's going to take to build this and using local suppliers, I've estimated this build at around $4,000. So we're $3,000 away from that. And again, it's early yet. It's like Di was saying. I know we're not procrastinators, but we want to know. We want to wait a little bit longer before we make some decisions. Along those lines, the sheets for filling out to buy or to purchase in memory and honor or to the glory of God, a product of one of the building materials. Those sheets are in the narthex, also very near to the sheets that Di was talking about for the directories. We have 2 utility trailers that I know about. I don't have confirmation on either one of them yet, but I know that they're out there. And we have 2 nail guns. I just found out about another nail gun and a framing gun, which always, if we have 2 of those, we can make it go a little faster. So things are coming together with regards to the support. And we asked that you continue to support this. This is our 26th year. It's been a blessing for me to be a part of that for all these years, and I want you to know how much I appreciate you, whether you know me or not, whether you've the first time you're seeing my face. We are challenged each year to do this. This church has been missions-oriented, this is a different challenge for us. This doesn't involve a family. This involves a building and a community. And I'm hoping that this community sees that, understands that, and supports it. God bless you, and God bless this ministry.
Thank you so very much. A few other announcements before we begin our service. Today is the last day to order any of your hoagies, pepperoni rolls, or anything for the campership. Please get that done. And the hoagies will be delivered next Sunday. Are there any further announcements? There being none, I would like to thank everyone for being here today and to welcome any visitors that are here. If you are a visitor, there's a red pad at the end of your pew. We'd like you to register your attendance. We're glad to see you, and we hope you will return. Let us... I did the memory verse. You want to do it again, Diane? Thank you very much. Let us begin our worship. Please stand for the call to worship. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Please remain standing for our hymn number 332, Spirit of Faith, Come Down.
One more coming here. Anybody else? Don't be shy. So, I don't think anybody here, you don't have a younger sibling. I know Michael doesn't, and I don't think this one has a younger sibling. Okay, if you, Hannah, if you had a younger sibling, or Michael, and you saw them going towards a hot stove and reaching their hand up for it, what would you do? You pull them away. But why? They really want to touch it. It looks like really shiny. They can get hurt. That's right. So, let me show you something. What does this look like? Michael's not allowed to answer, because he knows. Yeah, it's a Tide Pod. Now, it looks kind of delicious. It looks like a gummy, doesn't it? But the thing is, if you eat this, it'd kill you. Right? But if you had a little brother or sister, like this one here, might, if you gave it to her, she might stick it in her mouth, right? Why? Yeah, she would think it would be a gummy or candy because it looks kind of good, right? Just because something looks good or seems attractive, does that mean it's good for you? Nope. So sometimes your mom and dad ask you, tell you no, and you're not exactly thrilled with them, right? Has that ever happened? Yeah. And you think it's so stupid that they won't let you have whatever you want. But sometimes, why do you think sometimes they tell you no? Yeah. What do you think, Michael? Yep. So you stay safe and you don't get hurt. Sometimes your parents know stuff that you don't know. And they tell you not to do something because they know it's going to hurt you, even if you really want to. If she really, what's her name? If Audrey? Audriana. If Audriana really wanted to eat the Tide Pod, it would still be really bad for her, right? And so that's how it is with God, too. God, my microphone's falling down. God gives us rules, things that he tells us to do in the Bible. And the reason he tells them is not because he's being mean, but because he doesn't want us to get hurt. Just like your mom and dad, just like we tell Audriana not to eat the Tide Pod, even if it looked really yummy to her. Because it would hurt her, right? So just keep that in mind, and let's close in prayer, okay? Put your hands in. Okay, dear Lord, we come before you. We thank you for our moms and our dads who love us and keep us from doing things that harm us. And thank you for you and the Bible that also tells us things that we shouldn't do that will harm us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Missy. Our word of God this morning is taken from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 9 through 13. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Will the ushers please come forward for our tithes and our offerings?
Thank you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Lord, thank you for these gifts. Thank you for the abundance we have in this country. And we just give you a portion of that back, and we ask that you may multiply it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. We come before the Lord with our joys and concerns. So, yes, thank you.
My son David, who had a heart attack on Tuesday, is doing extremely well, and I thank everyone for their prayers for him. Thank you.
We just prayed for him this morning. That's awesome. Praise God. Any other joys? Yes. That's great. Oh, without a cigarette? Without a cigarette? Oh, good for you. That's hard. I quit smoking. I know. I quit twice. Yes. Yeah, thank you thank you guys. Trying not to break anything here. The youth are out right now doing Love Your Neighbor, and they're weeding and planting flowers for that gay nightclub. So I'm glad the weather held up, and so this is their indoor plumbing. Thank you. Connie always has pastor in mind. And for our joys, we say, praise the Lord. What about concerns? Pray for the volcano, the people dealing with the volcano in Hawaii, and school shooting, victims and families. Yes?
Johnny.
Okay. Pray for Johnny. Mom? Oh, my mom's here. Yeah, so she said there's a plane crash, and there was 10 Church of the Nazarene ministers all on that plane and their wives, and they had a lot of them had kids. The Church of the Nazarene they're a follower of Wesley, too. They split from the Methodist Church years and years ago, but they're a sister denomination. So let's pray for those pastors and their family. I mean, the pastors, I guess, the pastors, they're for their congregations and their kids. Anybody else? Military, yep. Okay, for our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's bow our heads in prayer, and then we'll go directly into the Lord's Prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you today on this Pentecost Sunday, and once again, we thank you for your Holy Spirit and all the blessings involved in that. And thank you for that, because we can have you with us at all times. And we thank you for that Peggy's son is doing that he's doing well after his heart attack. We thank you for the Sunday school teachers and for the students whose lives they've impacted, and just for all of your blessings. And We do want to bring before you the school shooting victims and families, and those who are dealing with natural disasters like the volcano happening in Hawaii, and those still recovering from hurricanes. And we continue to pray for our country and our church and our leaders. We pray for Johnny and whatever the concern is there. We pray for the those families of those Nazarene ministers and their wives and their congregations and all their kids, and just the massive loss there. And we also pray for our military personnel, that you keep them safe. And we pray the prayer that your son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'd all stand for a gospel reading. That's from, and this is also my sermon text. It's from John chapter 14, starting with verse 15. This is Jesus speaking. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. You may all be seated. I've had several times in my life, but most impactfully recently, where I think about, I read this stuff in the scripture about the Holy Spirit and about how he's supposed to bring us peace and joy and be impactful in our lives and all this. And I look at the early church and I'd be like, oh gosh, I see the stuff that happened in the early church and the power. And so why do I feel this lack of contentment? Why do I feel restless? Why do we not see in the American church that's something I've, like, what happened in the early church? I look at it and I'm like, God, and that's something that I've been recently processing, dealing with. And maybe that's something that some of you in your life, maybe some of you are lacking contentment right now, always looking for the next thing. And I'm saying this because I'm describing myself a month ago. Restlessness, wondering why you're so full of anxiety and don't have peace. When God's supposed to be a God of peace, why am I so consumed by fear? Why is my life a mess, or even just falling apart, or not even that severe, but why is it just like hard to balance and hard to manage, and it just doesn't seem, I'm not seeing in myself what I should see based on what the scriptures say. And so we have this promised Holy Spirit, and Jesus promises to disciples that in John 14, that the Spirit, that he'll give them an advocate, he'll give them somebody to be with them. So I'm going to turn to John 14, and like I said, he says in verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And we know all the promises of the Holy Spirit and all these, we read the Bible and see all this stuff happening. But I think we sometimes think it's like a carte blanche thing, that you're just going to get the Holy Spirit and all this stuff's going to happen just because you have you believe in Jesus. And hear me out before I say that. So, but Jesus gives a condition, doesn't he? He doesn't just say, everybody's going to get the Holy Spirit. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. and then I will give you the Spirit of truth. And if we go down to the end of that passage, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So you are, he says, if you keep his commands and do what he tells you, then that means you love him, and then he loves you, and the Father will love you. And he says he'll show himself to you. So what I'm talking about here, and I'm going to get into in a second, is you without obeying the commands of Christ, you cannot be his disciple, and you do not have the Spirit. So I want to turn to Hebrews and read what St. Paul says about this. And this is powerful language, but this is St. Paul speaking. He says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, then no sacrifice for sin is left for you. So if you receive the knowledge of Christ and his death on the cross, but you choose to keep on sinning, then there's no sacrifice for you. That's what Paul says. So what does that mean? The scriptures give the will that God has for us, and it's clear on morality. And if you choose to deliberately, which means a lack of repentance, right? Repentance means you turn from your sin and choose to serve God. You can't also hold on to a sin and keep on deliberately doing it. If you do, you do not have the Spirit. Jesus said that. And Paul says there's no sacrifice of sin for you. And he goes on telling how even in the Old Testament, people who had disobeyed the law of Moses were prosecuted with three witnesses. Then he says, how much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? If you've heard of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, that's what he's speaking about. It's an unforgivable sin because it's the state that you're in. It's when you refuse to repent, you choose to serve a sin and refuse to turn from it and think you can have it both ways. Paul and Jesus are saying you can't have it both ways. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other or serve the one and despise the other. So if we go on sinning deliberately, there's no sacrifice for sin for us. That's what the Bible says. Now, these are out of order because I gave this sermon this morning. There was a story right after the emancipation of slaves. They said it was about a year after. And in the South, slavery was culturally acceptable, right? And it was a very hard thing for them to give up. It was like all of a sudden they weren't allowed to do what everything was based on, and it was something that was accepted for their entire lives. And so there was a story of a minister who would have people over to his house, you know, and they'd walk up his stairs and hear noises under the porch, but be like, I don't know, I must be hearing things, you know, and keep on walking in. And it happened many times. And then one time a little child, I don't know what age, but it was a child, walked up and said, Pastor, what's that noise under your porch? Nothing, but the kid ran before he could say anything, because he's curious, ran down the stairs into the basement, found a locked door, and heard more noise and called his mom and dad down. And they went down and they forced him to show. Under the porch, he had slaves chained to the walls under his porch. And he had made them so they couldn't speak anymore, if you know what I mean, to keep them quiet. And that was something that was culturally acceptable. So what's the noise under your porch? See, God will not bless our actions and our lives or our church when we choose to sin, when we are deliberately go on sinning. So there's four things that I want to point out largely because a couple of them I rarely hear. I mean, I don't hear in sermons very often, and the Bible is clear, and I see them accepted in our culture, and therefore starting to be accepted by the church, and sometimes just laughed at, but like totally accepted by the church and by Christians. And I'll get into what it was for me, why I was feeling that. And I was like seeking God, and God, what's going on? And I figured out that it was a sin that was I was calloused over, and I couldn't feel it anymore. I didn't know it was wrong. I mean, I did, but you know what I mean? I got calloused to it. And so I'm going to point out, bring those four, and some of you may feel convicted by some of these, and don't be mad at me. I'm just reading what the scripture says. And so the first one is one that's starting to affect the United Methodist Church in a very unique way. And that's so fornication. The Bible describes fornication scripturally as any sexual relationship outside of marriage between a man and a woman. Jesus said, "Have you not read that in the beginning God created them male and female? And the man will leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." And any sexual relationship outside of marriage, whether it's homosexual or heterosexual, and there is no homosexual marriage scripturally, is fornication. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians that neither the sexually immoral nor adulterers nor those who practice homosexuality will enter the kingdom of heaven. So if you are choosing to continue in that kind of sin, any kind of sexual relation outside of marriage, and will not stop, then there's no sacrifice for sin for you. That's what the Bible says. The second one is gossip. And I've seen this in churches, like rampant, and I've seen it destroy churches. And the Bible says that if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. That's God saying pretty strong language there. But it's something we've kind of, it's become culturally accepted, and it's come accepted in the church. Watching movies and listening to music that you wouldn't do with Jesus there. This is something Don's helped me with. You get calloused to it. Your whole life, you start, and before you know it, you're watching stuff that's like degrades human life, is, you know, obscene language, sexual morality. I mean, it's like, but we get used to it, right? Listen to music that's got like, I listen to secular music, but I don't listen to stuff anymore that's like has a bad message to it or is about, you know, I don't care. I'm going to keep listening to it. Scripture is clear about that. And the last one is, the last one I'll mention today is, believe it or not, this is something that, this is what I want to tell you with me. So I was feeling all these feelings that I mentioned in the beginning. And my chiropractor, who's a Christian, mentioned that maybe it's sin. And I'm like, nah, you know. And I'm not committing any sin. You know what I mean? And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to pray about it and ask God to reveal if there's something. And there's two things. One, I kept driving Uber when God told me like 12 times that he wanted me to stop because I wasn't trusting him. I was trying to keep control of finances by working more and more and more, and it was never enough. I'm one of those people that goes a little too far, you know? And after two flat tires while driving Uber, and after a couple other things, God practically, I mean, I don't know what else he had to do to tell me to stop, and I finally did. And the other one was, Don and I would sit and watch television, and I would get a whole bag of gluten-free, because I have celiac disease, gluten-free animal cookies, and I would eat the entire bag while watching TV in like 30 minutes. And now, you know, it's like, you know, what do you do? You know, so you like cookies. But the Bible is clear that gluttony is a sin. It says in Proverbs, "Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. Put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony." And that's a rampant thing in our culture, in churches. It's accept, it's all right. You know, no one's, and, but there's two principles behind it. And the one is greed, partaking of way more than you need, and also, this is the one that was especially for me, was in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore," he says, "glorify God with your body." So the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And Paul tells us to glorify God with our physical bodies. And if the church really believed that and took it to heart, maybe we'd be the healthiest people in the country. So if we want God's blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit as individuals and as a church, we must repent as individuals of habitual sin, sins that we kind of became okay with. And no amount of bishop votes or votes in conferences or any church changes what the Word of God says. And the Word of God is clear. Human popular vote does not change what God says in His Word. And so we have to make a decision as individuals and as a church. And right now, the Methodist Church, the bishops are proposing to the conference in 2019 that they let the conferences and individual churches decide whether they want to marry homosexuals and ordain them. So you guys are going to have to make a decision as a church in a few years. Where are you going to stand on this? Are you going to stand on the Word of God, or are you going to stand on popular culture? And the Bible says that if you call what is evil good and what is good evil, you are cursed. Strong language, but that's not me saying it again. So I want you to listen to Jesus one more time. "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask my Father to give you an advocate to help you and be with you, the Spirit of truth." And Paul says in Romans, "If you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, then you do not belong to Christ." I just want to close by saying, I told the little kids about the Tide Pods and how you parents tell them things that you know are bad for them. And you do it because you love them, right? You don't want them to get hurt. God is the same way. These commands, those ones I told you, and all the commands in the Bible, are there for your good. If you choose sin, you choose pain and hurt. So choose this day whom you will serve. Amen. The benediction, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen.